This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why do they lie? Why do the communists lie with such ease? They do. They lie about everything. You've watched any minute of the DNC this year, you saw just lie after lie after lie after lie. They're going to secure the border. They love the military. They love law enforcement. We're going to fund the police. We're not, just gigantic lies. Well, it's important to understand why they can justify that, because we all have a conscience. Doesn't matter what your morality happens to be, what your religious beliefs happen to be. Everyone has a conscience, right? You do, I do, everyone does. How do you justify the things you did that day as you lay your head down on a pillow at night? If you're a communist, if you're Kamala Harris, if you're the Democrats themselves, how do you justify lying about every single thing you want to do? Well, you believe in something higher to justify the lie. It serves your revolution. It serves your religion, and therefore it gives your conscience the justification it needs to lie about everything at all times. And I'm here to tell you, if these people get elected and if they're able to implement their economic agenda, there is more pain and suffering coming for this country than you can possibly imagine. Set aside the speeches, set aside the lies. Let's just listen for a minute about Doam's policies and the things she actually wants to do.
It has to be about a goal of saying everybody should end up in the same place. And since we didn't start in the same place, some folks might need more. Equitable distribution.
Giving resources based on equity, understanding that we fight for equality, but we also need to fight for equity, understanding not everyone starts out at the same place.
So there's a big difference between equality and equity. Equality suggests often everybody should get the same thing. Well, that often assumes everybody started out in the same place, as opposed to equity, which is everyone should end up in the same place. And if you then understand not everybody started out in the same place, you understand some people need more. So we all end up in the same place. Right?
We are proud of the fact that equity is one of our guiding principles. Proud of the fact that we understand equality is important, but not everybody starts out on the same base.
That's communism. That's what it is. She loves that concept, talks about it all the time. Equity is communism. And of course, she's trying to do the best she can to massage that, kind of tweak the language a little bit, but what's she saying? She's saying not only should the government control things, the government should discriminate. You've had privileges. You've been given things that this Democrat constituent or this Democrat constituent, they didn't start out the same place you did. So when the government steals large quantities of your money and hands it to people who hate your guts and happen to vote for Doam, well, don't you believe in equity? Equity is communism. Equity is communism. It is a communist concept from Karl Marx all the way to today. That's what equity is. Don't ever let these people convince you that they're moderate, that they're just kind of a little on the left, that they're even anything close to an acceptable option. 4 years of Doam walls will be like a nuclear bomb dropped on the United States of America. And the American people had better wake up to that fact. That's my concern. I'm not necessarily worried about you. I'm worried about your normie friends, your liberal Aunt Peggy. I'm worried about the people who believe the lies or try to make excuses to go vote for them. I had this conversation the other day. I was with a group of dudes. It was all Republicans. There was one Democrat there. I didn't bring him, but there was one Democrat there. And that conversation I had with him, I can't get it out of my head. He said something. Of course, he had to bring it up. We weren't even talking politics. You see what Trump said? And I said, yeah, I saw what Trump said. What was wrong with it? He did. I, of course, had no specifics. So he's crazy. That guy's crazy. It's all he kept saying. I was trying to stay calm. I said, okay, what was crazy? Which part? The guy's just a nut. Can't believe anyone's going to vote for that. And so I said, okay, so you're going to vote for Kamala Harris? Well, yeah. You know she came out for price controls, right? That's what I told the guy. I said, you know she came out for price controls, right? Well, why is that bad? And I explained to him very calmly that that will result in businesses going under, probably empty shelves, starvation. It's communism that's been horrific every time it's been tried. I just laid it all out for him as logically as I possibly could. And you know what he said back to me? Kid you not. Well, she's not going to be able to actually implement that. He's going to go vote for the communists. And his justification is she won't be able to implement any of the horrors she has planned. And that's why Governor Ratchet, Gretchen Whitmer, that's why Democrats, that's why they go on TV and they try to act like, wow, this stuff's no big deal.
Well, I think people are reading too much into what has been put out there.
Reading too much into it, huh? We're reading too much into all these communist schemes, of course. What are you doing? Joining me now, the author of many books, you really probably should pick up You Will Own Nothing, because it looks like that's where we're headed, my friend Carol Roth. Carol, are you reading too much into these whole price control things? What's wrong with price controls after all, Carol? The prices are too high. Government should just tell them, don't raise prices. In fact, lower prices. This sounds wonderful. What's wrong with it?
Yeah, I love the fact that the only sort of proponents of these policies that Comrade Kamala is putting out are the people who say, oh, they'll never get enacted. So basically, you're saying that she has no plan and we should just be voting on vibes and joy because, you know, joy pays for your food and it pays for your rent and it puts gas in your car and all of that kind of stuff. The price controls thing is one of many of the most frightening things I've ever heard. And they keep coming out of the Kamala Harris campaign. Kamala Harris has been very responsible for the economic pain that Americans are feeling. She had the deciding vote on everything from the American Rescue Plan, which stoked historic inflation, to the Inflation Reduction Act, which has kept our deficits at near $2 trillion a year. So the fact that people are feeling economic pain, and that is the number one issue, she needs a villain. She can't just accept that, you know, that's her responsibility. So now it's all these greedy corporations who apparently just woke up and decided to be greedy over the last 3.5 years. Now, we know this is just not the case. If you look at the PPI versus the CPI, the PPI is a wholesale measure of inflation. It's the inputs into goods and services versus the CPI, which is what consumers are actually paying. If there was gouging going on either at the wholesale level or the retail level, we would expect to see a massive divergence between the inflation and those two indicators, and they have tracked each other very closely. So we know that that's obviously not the case. But the idea, Jesse, of price gouging and price controls, I mean, this is just absolutely, like, if you bought into the corporate greed and the fact that, grocery stores have 1.6% net profit margins last year, her fix to that is something that is going to cause rationing and shortages. Every person knows this. She's getting panned across the aisle, except for these, you know, good little communists like Whitmer who are saying, no, just don't pay attention to it. That's the best thing they can say about it.
Carol, can you take me to Econ 101 class, because there's a bunch of people watching right now who want to be able to explain this to their liberal Aunt Peggy's. Why don't price controls work? Why doesn't it work? Eggs are too expensive. Why can't government just say you're not allowed to charge that much for eggs? Why doesn't it work?
Because if companies don't have the ability to charge their own costs of goods and services, and you have to remember that companies not only have their inputs gone up, but their labor has gone up, their overhead has gone up, their energy has gone up, so their own cost of doing business is higher, then you have businesses that it's either not worth it for them to be able to produce, or they go out of business entirely. And you have fewer goods and services available. So in the case of food, you would have less food available. And that means that you would either have rationing, which is some other way other than price of dividing up those scarce resources. Or in the worst case scenario, you would just have shortages and, you know, social unrest and all the things that go along with it. So it's one of those things that sounds great in theory, but the outcome, and this is, like you said, in every Econ 101 book, everybody knows this, is that if you put in a price control, you're going to get less of those goods and services.
Mm-hmm. Do you think these ideas come from her? I mean, there's not much that comes from her. This is very clearly not somebody who does a lot of reading or thinking. This really is just the communist machine that's around her now, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've contended for a long time that Joe Biden hasn't been running the country for the last 3.5 years. There's some sort of regime, and it's the same regime that said, sorry, Joe, you're no longer going to be in, and tap Kamala in. Obviously, they're, part of that plan is, okay, you have to go along with whatever it is that we say. And we're seeing the advisors that she's bringing in, people like Brian Deese, who was a Biden economic advisor, who was an Obama economic advisor, who advised Hillary Clinton in that interim period when she ran for president. And, oh, by the way, who's somebody with like a political science and law degree and doesn't actually come from the private sector, except for a short stint as BlackRock and as head of sustainable investing. But these are not people behind her who are small business owners, who have been in the private sector, who know how things work. And I mean, you've listened to her talk about things like how much she loves buses and the cloud, which she thinks happens to be an actual cloud above your head where you put things. So the idea that she has a lot of economic prowess, I think is pretty clear that that's not happening. She's just taking whatever the talking points are and spewing them out. And the talking points, ladies and gentlemen, are completely frightening. Like, if you thought the last 3.5 years that her and Biden were responsible for were bad, you know, everything that's coming out, you know, basically food shortages, worsening the housing crisis, and crashing the stock market and the economy. If that sounds joyful to you, well, then vote for Kamala Harris.
So, Carol, how could so many people vote for Kamala Harris? We all know, Lord willing, it's less than 50%, but we all know roughly half the country's going to go punch that button for Dome this November. How could that be? Are we this dumb now?
Yes, we are this dumb as a country. We have a economically and financially illiterate electorate, and people who aren't in the flow of information or who listen to the corporate press don't even know what's going on, nor could they process it if they did know what's going on. The fact that we're at, you know, crisis levels of debt to GDP, 120%, you know, this would be a bad outcome at any point in time, but we are at this very scary situation. People have forgotten that the U.S. debt has been downgraded multiple times under the Biden-Harris regime. So this is a very scary time. And instead of being serious and saying this is the most important issue, so I'm going to vote for the most important issue, they want to be a part of history. They want to be part of the vibes. They want to be part of the cool kids campaign and align with their favorite Hollywood celebrity instead of getting realistic and understanding that the American way of life is under threat. And if they vote for vibes, they're going to have some really bad vibes coming down the line.
Yeah. Great Depression, food shortages, things like that always come with some really icky vibes, don't they?
Yeah.
Carol,
yeah.
Thank you. You are the best. I appreciate it. All right. Tiana Lowe Desher joins us in a moment. Break down some more of these economic policies they're proposing. Look, it's all that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right, and so is she. We'll be back.
Hey, there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
A loaf of bread cost 50% more today than it did before the pandemic. Ground beef is up almost 50%.
Wow. That seems like quite a campaign strategy. Who's been in charge all this time? Joining me now, my friend Tiana Lodescher, columnist for the Washington Examiner. Tiana, who's she campaigning against there? What's this woman been doing for the last 3.5 years?
Meanwhile, OJ is looking for the real killer, Jesse. Now, it's clear if you go through the data on those price increases across the board, but especially in groceries, it all happened under Biden and Harris. Under Trump, inflation averaged less than 2% each year, and 2% is that Federal Reserve target. Under Biden and Harris, it has averaged nearly 6%, so three times what the Fed wants. And yet she thinks that she is the solution to the inflation she created in the form of price controls, which I get that we on the right sometimes throw around terms like communist or socialist frivolously. But in this case, that's exactly what her economic plan is.
Can you explain to people why, just I know we're stepping out of the Kamala world here for a moment, why is there a target for 2% inflation by the Fed at all? It's hard for people to understand. Wait a minute. So your target is to make sure the value of my dollar goes down a little bit every year? It's hard for people to get. Can you explain that to me?
When it's a fixed 2% amount, it means that employers are expected to account for that in cost of living adjustment. I mean, Social Security payments are supposed to be predictable, things like that. And what you don't want is you don't want to have massive variability in terms of deflation and inflation, because if prices start going down, then you could wind up in a depressive spiral where people are not wanting to sell their goods, right? Or where people are holding on to their goods, and it slows economic growth. So the idea is that with 2%, is that supposed to be very predictable? You are having room for keeping unemployment lower than you could do, because if you had that 0% inflation target, then what you would have is higher unemployment. And what we saw in 2019, it was the Goldilocks economy, at least when it came to these metrics, right? As you and I both know, debt and government spending still way too high, but the macroeconomic factors like unemployment, inflation, you had this perfect happy medium. And then COVID came and they had the excuse to inflate away the currency.
How did they cause so much inflation? What did, why are eggs so expensive now, Tiana? Why is power so expensive? My power bill is jaw-dropping now. How did these things happen because of COVID?
Broadly speaking, inflation is always and everywhere a monetary phenomenon. It's too many dollars chasing too few goods. And there are ways in the Biden administration made it worse, right? So for one thing, you had Kamala Harris being the swing vote on the $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan and then the $1.3 trillion Inflation Reduction Act, which reduced inflation the same way that the Democratic People's Republic of Korea is a democratic republic. It's not. There's a study that just came out the other day from a University of Chicago professor, Casey Mulligan, that found that the majority of the excess inflation that happened under Biden and Harris is because of those two swing votes that Kamala Harris herself made. So on top of all this government spending, and the government does have to fund it some way, and that's in devaluing our own paychecks. Average Americans take in a 5% hit to their paycheck. Then they've also overly regulated the energy industry. You've also given handouts to that 55 to 65 age demographic where they aren't working anymore. They all retired early. And it's you and I and those of us with young kids or those of us that want to start families who are paying for everyone else. So we don't have enough workers. We don't have enough. We don't have enough energy. Energy is a leading indicator for prices across the board. And then on top of it, it's an intentional design. You inflate the currency to fund government debt. It's called seigniorage, and it's been going on in human history for thousands of years.
Tiana, why do they want the border open? This is obviously something that's been done purposefully. I should note that's also inflationary to bring in 20 million people you have to pay for in 4 years. But why are they so adamant about bringing in a bunch of murderers and rapists? It doesn't make sense.
Disinflation, or so legal immigration, when done correctly, can be disinflationary. Illegal immigration, as you point out, is the exact opposite. Not only is it jacking up prices in the housing market, but also a lot of these Democratic localities, they have laws that prevent new housing from being built. You have them draining these social safety nets. Here in Chicago, the city spends some $7,000 per month per migrant just to house them in what used to be a high school. And so a part of it, I think, is Joe Biden being naive in believing his base and believing that, oh, the child separation is inhumane, making it so that way we can't let asylum seekers in the country is inhumane. And what's the result? The majority of migrants coming into the country are no longer from either Mexico or the Northern Triangle countries. They're coming from Iran. They're coming from China. They're coming from Russia. They're coming from countries, and they're exporting military-aged men who are indeed coming in. And the correct word at this point, when it's 10 million illegal immigrants strong, is probably invasion. I think it's a combination of true believers and those that were stupid enough to get duped by then. Because a massive issue that we have is DHS Inspector General just announced that we have more than 250,000 missing children. And a lot of these children were trafficked on the way through the Darien Gap and back into the U.S., and we've lost them.
Gosh, it's so sad. Not just what they've been through, what they're going through right now within our borders. It's freaking awful. Tiana, I'm out of time. Appreciate you very much. All right. Mark Morano is going to join us. He's all over the insane climate policies of Dome. We'll talk to him next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country, without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
So I am offering a Green New Deal that has been described as one of the most aggressive and progressive, which says that by 2045, we will have a clean economy. We will invest in renewable energy.
A clean economy. That sounds so lovely. It's going to be clean. We're just going to scrub it. Joining me now, my friend Mark Morano, executive editor, climatedepot.com. Mark, I'm excited for this, to have an economy that's clean. It sounds so nice. We're just going to clean it.
You know, what the word she wants to use there is a centrally planned command and control economy dictating every aspect of your life. Because when they talk about a clean economy, what she's referring to is solar, wind, and EVs. And in order to make, and of course, limits on eating red meat, and of course, regulations on every aspect of your life, your freedom of movement, your appliances, pizza ovens, gas stoves, and the whole like. This is a specter that I think, Mao's China, Stalin would have envied, to have the ability to impose this clean economy through the massive organs of the state in which they're able to do it. And it's mostly at this point, because they couldn't get officially, they never even introduced, I mean, they introduced the Green New Deal, but it was never actually voted on. They're actually just doing this right now through massive cash infusion, Pennsylvania, of course, being the biggest state. But her entire plan is to go full net zero beyond what Joe Biden has done. Her vice presidential candidate, Walz, has done some 40 climate bills in Minnesota. He's the only second most radical climate governor next to Gavin Newsom in America. But he comes off as the ah shucks, you know, guy next door, you know, football coach. So he's very effective in that you don't, these are, he's a radical that you don't actually, you can't actually tell at first glance.
Yeah, that's, of course, their plan. And people should know that this climate insanity from Dome, is it's not a one-off. She's talked about fracking in ways like this.
Yes.
Climate change is the single greatest threat facing our world today. That's why I am committed to passing a Green New Deal, creating clean jobs, and finally putting an end to fracking once and for all.
Mama La Kamala just don't give a frack.
Mark, yeah. Mama Kamala wants to ban fracking. What would that mean?
Well, fracking is the entire reason the United States led the world in reducing our CO2 emissions after 2010 to about 2020. No country even came close. And this was under Donald Trump, too, by the way. If you actually cared about climate change or thought CO2 was driving a catastrophe, you would be pro-fracking. But here's what's happened. She never said a word about it in 2024. Her campaign just issued a statement. She no longer supports that. And now you have the New York Times, the Washington Post coming out recently and saying Kamala is not talking about climate at all anymore. Neither is Walz, who's made it his signature issue as governor. They've gone silent. Why have they gone silent? Because they know the public is complete fatigue from hearing, first of all, of climate emergencies, climate crisis, and all the nonsense. And instead, they've turned the whole issue into cash grabs. And to give you an example, the Inflation Reduction Act was only passed with about, I think, $270 billion. The latest estimates are they're spending $1.2 trillion on the way to multiple trillions. We're at a point in America where Congress can authorize a bill and it means nothing. They'll get the budget and go 10, 20, 30 times that, and the government just spends beyond that. And all of this money, of course, is being aimed at Pennsylvania. And we have Kamala Harris telling farmers in 2019 that if they're, you know, her new climate policies affect, remember, they're coming after high-yield agriculture, they're coming after meat eating. If you lose your job farming, don't worry, we're going to retrain you. You're just one of the victims. You can survive because you're versatile and you can adapt. It's a frightening situation because they are imposing top-down controls, collapse of energy, food, transportation, rationing of all of that to create a chaotic situation. Remember, Vladimir Lenin, 1917, against Tsarist Russia, the slogan was the worse, the better. The more inflationary debt cycle, economic calamity with food shortages, rationing, limits on your transportation, vehicle limits, the more you're going to have calamity, the easier it is to impose this kind of centrally planned totalitarian vision. Make no mistake, that is what this is. That's what's happening. In Europe, of course, they're fighting back. The farmers form their own political party. They sprayed the manure all over the EU. And of course, the elections went against the Greens in June of this year, 2024. So we'll see what happens here. But she is doing a great job, her and her vice president, of being very stealth about their true agenda, and it's even gotten the notice of the mainstream media now.
Mark, you say this is about just, you know, handing money to their political allies, but these people want to ban gas-powered vehicles. That surely doesn't have anything to do with handing out money to people, right?
No, it doesn't, but the inflation, what they're doing is they're bringing in, let's call them temporary jobs, unless the government commits long term to doing this. But they're bringing in like, oh, we're going to have a battery assembly plant, all the parts from China, of course. But we're going to have this big plant right here in your little town. And that's where the Inflation Reduction. And this has been happening for decades, with, you know, back since Obama's first green stimulus. Everything looks great at first until the money dries up and there's no market for it and the products are a joke and they don't actually produce anything and the batteries aren't good and the solar panels fade out and they don't have energy. And then what happens? The money goes to the same board. The companies will dissolve. A new board will form many times with the same board members. They come in and they take over. And this is their makeshift jobs. The unions love it. They can bring the rank and file union in because they're going to be these temporary jobs funded by tax dollar. But no, they don't care because they're trying to even not talk about the gas-powered car bans and the EVs. I mean, the EVs are collapsing before our eyes. You know, we used to talk about defund the police. And it was a big theory. Then they actually got to implement it. We saw the result. Now they ran away from it. They're still in the phase where they're talking about this panacea of EVs. Ford just announced they're bailing. Every major automaker is losing their shirt on it, walking away from the EVs, but not the federal government. Federal government is still in. Minnesota's in. Harris, as far as we know, again, they've gone silent on all of these plans with EVs. It's one thing to like an EV and think they're a neat second or third car. It's another to say we're going to ban gas-powered cars. But that's what Harris walls are all about. And again, this is the most radical climate agenda we've ever seen, but that no one's talking about. And I mean by no one, I mean the candidates themselves stop talking about it. We don't even know their positions. You know, we don't know. They don't have any public position on this anymore. They've gone silent.
Yeah. Kamala has many positions. Mark, thank you, sir. I appreciate it very much. Talk to Cernovich next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country, without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Vice President Harris has earned the nomination from the grassroots up and not the top down.
It's amazing, isn't it? That stupid ham-fisted sky is green analogy I use all the time, you see it in real time, don't you? Mike Cernovich did a documentary on this, one that you should really watch. It's years ago, and it's still just, man, it hits. Joining me now, Mike Cernovich, creator of Hoaxed, which I would highly recommend you go watch. Mike, the question is, why do they tell these huge lies? Yeah, they're soulless demons and morons, and I got all that, but they very clearly think this will work on the American people.
Well, they blitz people with lies, but the lies are twofold. So there's why they lie and what they lie about. And what I think is interesting is that they have to pretend to be right-wing or right-wing conservative. Commonly you'll hear people say, oh, Republican hasn't won the popular vote since George W. Bush and I think 2004. Therefore, this is a left-wing country. The answer is no. If you look at everything Comrade Kamala is lying about, she's claiming, oh, we love the Second Amendment. Oh, we want to lower taxes. Oh, we want to lower inflation. Oh, they're pretending to be a Republican. They're pretending to be conservatives. And that's because you have to lie if you want to have any chance of winning. The media goes with it. And unfortunately, people on the Democrat side are gullible people.
Is that why it works on enough people? And I'm not saying it's going to work this November, Mike, but it obviously has worked in the past. Is that why it works? Is it the media going along with it? Because honestly, if you had any kind of a media that was anything other than apparatchiks, they would destroy these lies and dismantle the whole thing.
Yeah, most people don't have their whole entire life to devote to politics, right? That's the problem. It's easy for people who have leisure time to follow politics closely, but most people don't. So that's why the media lies are effective, because most people don't have the time that it takes to investigate. So for example, PolitiFact and all the fact checkers, they're all claiming that Waltz didn't dodge a deployment. And anyone who's followed this story knows that his own command sergeant major said he did. His own battalion commander said that he did. But the gambit made by the media and the Waltz-Harris campaign is that no one will ever be able to investigate it because they don't have the time, or they're burned out, or they're stressed out, and they'll be able to get away with the lies. And unfortunately, they do get away with a lot of lies.
Why do Republicans handle campaigns differently than the Democrats do? Because you, what you pointed out is totally correct. I mean, you even had losers like Chris Murphy on the stage talking about how they're going to, Kamala has secured the border and she's been really tough on the border. Just these huge lies. But of course, they get elected and open up the border. Republicans don't do that. They campaign as if they're on the right, and then they get elected and they turn into weenies.
Yeah, why is it that Republicans do that? Is because they are not real Republicans. They run as Democrats. And again, the voters, at some point, there has to be accountability, right? At some point, you, for example, the 4 years of the Trump administration, I really got tired of people saying, Trump's too trusting. Trump hired, another hired, betrayed him. Trump. At some point, you say, okay, like, I get it. Okay, Trump is king. He's too naive. He's such a sweetheart, and he's being betrayed by all these people. Great. That works for like a year. Maybe that works for 2 years. But you can't keep saying the same thing in 2024. And that's how we go with Republican voters, where, oh, they're such good people. They're good Christian people. They're trust. I don't know. What'd Mike Johnson do? Right? Mike Johnson, evangelical Christian. He goes down to his knees in prayer, follows accountability. Amen. Right? Hallelujah. Great. That's nice. So at some point, we have to ask the people who listen to this, our own voters, the people that we go to church with, the people that we know, at some point we have to say, when are you going to take accountability for who you're voting for? And when are you going to quit falling for this kind of stuff? Because if that happened, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Everyone is so demoralized always about elections. But when you look at voter turnout, when you look at primary turnout, you see Republicans say, I got other things to do. Who cares about the primary? This is going to take too much energy. Who cares, right? I'm going to vote for the guy who says he's a Christian, right? Lankford's a Christian. He prays. I'm going to vote for him. Okay. Oh. You got to quit doing this.
Gosh, it's so true. And that's how losers like Lankford get elected. He campaigned in all the Baptist churches in Oklahoma. Look at me. I'm a youth pastor. I'm James Lankford. Gets elected, grabs his ankles every single day for the communists, and still the American right either won't show up in the primary or they show up and vote for the loser they see on Fox News every night. It drives me insane, Mike.
Yeah, it's frustrating, and we don't have a lot of time, unfortunately. There, I didn't think 2020 was a do or die election. In 2020, I didn't really do much because I was a little disappointed, understatement, on how Trump was more concerned with parting rappers and worrying about if some rapper got arrested in Sweden. And getting, you know, that was his concern, right? And anything we cared about was pushed aside, or we had to throw a temper tantrum to get our issues any kind of notice. So 2020, I didn't really say much. I didn't do much. I had other things going on. Plus, you could get banned from social media. And I always thought, I'm going to get banned from social media for Trump, right? Trump can go free a rapper or something. Trump didn't care when people were getting banned from social media 2017, 2018. And I didn't really care. The only mistake there, I guess, I underestimated how bad the Biden regime would be. I knew it would be not great, but I thought that would open some people's eyes and say, okay, you wanted a dose of reality, you got it. But with this election, without any kind of hyperbole, if Harris Waltz wins, finality, there's never any finality because time moves on, humanity marches on, but we're going to be in a condition in this country that people can't imagine. Probably famines, right? Probably famine, probably starvation, homelessness, real homelessness, not the druggies who want to do drugs in tent cities, but actual working families are going to be homeless. And if people don't see that as enough reason to get out there and vote Trump and to have some confidence. So for example, the Republican thing, and I think this again goes back to Christianity, the weaponization of Christian virtue and a misunderstanding of Christian virtue. I'm not a sheepish Republican, right? Or I'm not even Republican, but I vote for Trump and I vote for a Republican because that's what you have to do, or otherwise it's all over. But if you tell me, oh, I'm voting for Harris, I just say, why do you want to kill babies so much? Why, why are you okay with destroying the country to kill babies, right? That's just what I say. I don't care. Get mad, you know, get mad, get offended. Like, it really, you really need to kill a full term? Because everybody knows you're going to have first trimester abortions. I know you don't agree with that. Walsh says a lot of conservatives don't, and I respect that point of view, but that's just the reality. There's going to be first trimester abortions. Everybody knows it. You can be mad and think that shouldn't happen. But that's the reality. That's what it is in Europe. That's what it's going to be in the United States, okay? So what's your problem with that, pro-choice? If you're pro-choice, what's the problem with that? You're going to get your first-term abortions, okay? That's the way the country is right now, the secularization. That's where you are. You won. Congratulations. But why do you need to cut a baby open at 8 months, right? And that's what people need to start telling people. Is just say, look, I get it. Maybe I wouldn't support first trimester abortions, but that's the reality. You're going to be able to get them. Why do you want to kill an 8-month-old baby? Make them defend themselves. But there's not enough of that kind of fighting spirit within conservatives. And again, I think it's due to the Christian. I think it is. All this traces back to the whole Protestant. Oh, where Jesus is your buddy. Jesus is my friend. Jesus loves everybody. Let's just be a nice guy like Jesus. Yay, yay, yay. Oh, I don't want to offend anybody. I'm like it's that Ned Flanders sort of faux Christianity that we see, of course, in Mike Johnson. And that trickles down from the pulpit to the people where you just say, look, you're not being unchristian if you ask somebody, why do you want to kill an 8-month-old baby, right? Because you can have your first trimester. You can have it. Quit saying the handmaid's tale. That's just all stupid. It's a lie. You're going to get your precious little first-term abortions. Congratulations, you won. Okay. Why do you need to slice open an 8-month-old baby? And then they'll go, oh, I don't support that. Yeah, you do. You do. Because that's the Walt's position in Minnesota. Abortion up until breech, they can go in there with a scalpel and slice open a baby's brain. That's what you're voting for. And we need to, in a legal and lawful and civil way, just with friends and family, say, why do you want to do that? Make them defend themselves instead of us trying to defend ourselves from their lies all the time.
Yeah, we all know how unoffensive Jesus was at the time. He certainly didn't offend anybody or step on any toes. You know, Mike, and beyond that, and that's a good point about playing offense, especially when they're the demons who want to murder full-term babies, we're not even discussing what will happen with the DOJ with another 4 years. Mike, they just took an 89-year-old former prisoner of a communist prison camp in Eastern Europe, convicted her of pro-life crimes, and she's going to die in an American prison, a Eastern Europe former commie prison camp. Now she's going to die in America. This is reality now. It's not coming in the future, right now.
Right. Julie Kelly even filed a court transcript where a judge mocked the woman's Christianity. She said, I'm sending you to prison for 5 years, but you'll stay alive because you're a Christian. Don't die on us. Don't die on us, honey, because Jesus said, Lord, you're going to be okay. And I don't know at this point what more there is to tell people, right? All I can say is, to the people who claim they're Christians or whatever, is just cut the fake act, because if you really believe what you claim that you believe, that would be intolerable. That would be we all have our red lines. That would be intolerable if you actually cared. You would be at Micah Johnson's office. You would be, there would just be an occupation of Mike Johnson's office, just like the Green New Deal people did with Nancy Pelosi's. So why is it that the Green New Deal believe in what they believe more than Christians? Because I'll just be honest. That's the reality. The Green New Deal people said, we're going to go to Pelosi and we're going to demand, and that's a scam. Climate change is the technology and everything they were trying to do with those ugly windmills. That's all nonsense and a scam. And it's been proven that it takes 20 years for those things to even have a return on energy. They fall apart. They kill birds. They're killing whales, messing with sonar. But the question Christians got to ask is, well, why is it that the Green New Deal people go to Pelosi's office, but you're outsourcing your religion to, oh, Tim Scott went to a prayer breakfast. Amen. Mike Johnson, oh, he's a good Christian man. He is. Well, he's watching Christians go to prison for being pro-life. But you're not going to go. You're not going to go say anything because he has a bagel at Christmas breakfast and they all do a little prayer. Great.
Yeah. Mike, thank you, brother. Come back anytime.
Have a good day.
All right. We have final thoughts next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
The communists aren't coming, they're here. We talked about this in the opening. When we discuss where we're going as a country, what the future might bring, I feel like we do that, I know I do that, almost to try to make it easier to handle. Well, in the future, they might. No. Kamala Harris, the people around her, they're communists. They intend to destroy our free market system. They will throw you in prison. They will cause starvation. They will empty the shelves. They will massacre babies, full-term babies. They will do these things. They will continue to open the border, flood the country with rapists and murderers. That's not the future. What's happening now is but a taste of where we're going. If this woman, her and Walls are elected, we are in very serious trouble. What's coming in November, as I said, is a stress test of all stress tests. If the United States of America can watch this hag lie her way through a presidential campaign after they handed her the nomination, and the United States of America decides they hate Trump too much and they're going to vote for her, then we deserve everything that's coming. This is a stress test. We have failed stress test after stress test, from COVID to George Floyd. We keep failing stress tests. This is a big one. Let's hope we don't fail. All right, we'll do it again.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.